A couple of weeks ago, I opened Martin Meredith's book about African elephants with the hope and expectation of a respite from war. I had forgotten that the elephant was the forerunner of the tank. I'd forgotten about Hannibal, the Carthaginian commander taking elephants over the Alps. And from Meredith's book, Elephant Destiny, I learned that when the Romans ultimately defeated Carthage, one term of surrender was, hand over all your elephants and train no more for military purposes. Some things never change. Martin Meredith, after reading your book, I had to wonder whether the African elephants were better off as weapons of mass destruction, in which case they had some value being alive, as opposed to what billiards and piano music did to them.
Well, I'm not sure that they enjoyed warfare, but they were certainly trained to conduct ferocious battles against very often other elephants, or sometimes with groups of warriors armed with swords and spears. So they were, in a sense, trained rather like soldiers in a way, and they were pretty good in terms of cavalry charges and executing prisoners and generally terrifying human soldiers.
But what arts and leisure in the 19th century drawing room did to them may have been even worse.
Yes, it was the ivory that everybody wanted, and it was a prized material at the end of the 19th century. It formed at that time more or less the function that plastic did in a later age. It could be used for a whole variety of purposes. But as many as 65,000 elephants a year were slaughtered just because of their ivory.
And one point of getting all of that ivory and slaughtering all of those elephants was to make billiard balls. And you have a fact in your book, which I've been quizzing people about. It's the question of how many billiard balls were typically carved from a single sizable elephant tusk.
Well, it slightly depended on the size of the elephant tusk, but on the whole, on average, no more than 3 or 4 billiard balls from each elephant tusk.
So that's some measure of how many elephants were killed just to keep the billiard parlors of the world humming in Victorian days. And then there were piano keys as well.
Yes, piano keys, tinkling the ivories, which was a kind of common Victorian expression, and indeed is still used. In those days, there was no other material which so satisfied the demands of pianists. And being a pianist myself, I know how much more enjoyable it is playing on piano keys than playing on other synthetic material. But the synthetic materials in the Victorian era weren't available, and ivory was certainly the best available material there was.
Well, on to a more humane appreciation of the virtues of African elephants. You write about their social structure. These are highly social, very caring animals who live in a matriarchy.
They do. Their society is similar in many ways to human society. There are many resemblances. The basis of elephant society is, in fact, the family unit, which is led by a matriarch and consists of sisters and cousins with their various offspring. And family members are extremely loyal to each other. They're bound by strong ties of loyalty, which last for life, and their friendships last for life too. And there are other similarities with humans in that cows are devoted to the well-being and protection of their offspring well into their early teenage years. And in times of distress, when elephants are in difficulties, or indeed danger, when they're facing threats from predators, they hold fast to their family ties, and they swiftly combine with each other to ward off any threats that they face. And they are very gregarious, very responsible, and quite humorous animals in some ways.
One of their habits, at least of some African animals, you write, is to eat a certain kind of plum that ferments in the elephant's stomach?
Well, there are various fruits in Africa which, when they drop from the trees and ferment, have a fairly high alcoholic content. There is the marula tree, that is a particular favorite, which is found in many parts of southern Africa. And the effect of this on the elephants of alcohol from these fruits is quite remarkable in that they do behave rather like drunken humans and reel about and throw fruit at each other and generally display bad manners.
A fairly recent discovery about elephants that you write about was that some of the rumbling that goes on inside their stomachs is not just a byproduct of digestion, it's actually a form of communication.
It is. I mean, for many years, well, indeed for centuries, it was believed that the tummy rumbling was thought to be just a sort of part of the digestive system. But in fact, it turns out to be part of the communication. And this wasn't discovered until 1984, when an American acoustic biologist, Katie Payne, from Cornell University, who'd spent some 15 years studying the songs of humpback whales, decided to visit the elephant house in Washington Park Zoo in Portland, Oregon. And standing alongside an Asian elephant, Katie Payne thought that she detected what she called a palpable throbbing, like distant thunder, but she couldn't hear any sound. And it was as recently as that year, 1984, that the discovery was made that, like humpback whales, elephants use infrasound, that's sound below the normal range of human hearing. And on further investigation, it turns out that tummy rumbling, far from being part of the digestive system, was in fact communications going from one elephant to another, or groups of elephants to another. And the discoveries about elephant communications are being made all the time. It's in a sense, it's a new part of elephant science, and it is producing rather kind of dramatic results in terms of the way in which elephants are now regarded.
Some of the most stunning and wonderful stories about elephants involve death and involve the bones of their family members.
Yes, very unusually in the elephant world, elephants have a particular preoccupation about death, and the loss of a family member is marked by displays and rituals which some field biologists liken to a funeral. There is what appears in human terms to be considerable distress at the death of any elephant, and this occurs not just at the time of death but after death, which is even more unusual, that elephants quite often pick up the bones of dead elephants and fondle them and pass them to each other. And there is quite clearly some significance in the bones, however old they may be.
Well, Martin Meredith, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Martin Meredith, who joined us from Oxford, England, is the author of Elephant Destiny, Biography of an Endangered Species in Africa.